Well, we've made it to our third week of preaching the creeds and some of the scriptures that inform the creeds, which means we've made it to the third article. And if you remember your days in confirmation, and some of you I know are teaching, helping teach confirmation, so you remember this for sure, you know that we're talking about the Holy Spirit when we get to the third article. And what a perfect, or maybe perfectly ironic weekend to teach on the Holy Spirit, to receive once again these rich gifts. For here we are anticipating Labor Day, a federal holiday in our calendar set up to honor the American worker and the labor movement. Yet when we take up the Holy Spirit, we begin to recognize that the work of the Spirit, the labor of the Spirit, is not about what we do or accomplish, but it is about what God has accomplished in Christ and how God comes right for you, apart from your labor, separate from your good works. So now in the mercy of God the Father and by the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and you are made holy. And how would you hear this? Except for the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is here, reminding you, whispering in your ear, maybe a little louder some days, that you are his, and nothing can change that. Rest assured, tomorrow and the rest of your life, you will be used up in labor. You know this already, I suspect. You'll be used up for the sake of your neighbors. But today, now, God has you right where he wants you. That is, passively receiving his abundant gifts. So let's revel in these gifts a little more. For isn't that what we do in Christian worship? Isn't that why we are called and gathered here today? So we heard the story of Pentecost, as we do most every year on the Sunday of Pentecost, where tongues of fire appear above the heads of the disciples amazingly. And they preach the gospel, and then Peter preaches. We don't get the words of what the rest of the disciples say, but we get Peter's sermon, which comes a little later. And after he's done preaching, 3,000 people were baptized. That's a pretty incredible day for the church. Here at Bethel, we celebrate each baptism because they are all precious. At 10:30, we'll have another baptism, and as we do for each baptism, we'll, after that is done, take one of these drops of water, we'll have another one to add, and put it on this banner. And at the end of the year, we'll have a banner full of water drops celebrating the work of the Holy Spirit, celebrating children and adults who have been baptized here. And usually at the end of the year, between this banner and we have a smaller version in the chapel, we have 50, 60, 70 drops of water, which is always fun as a pastor. It's always fun to see that. And I hope that as a congregation we celebrate that. But then I read this story in Acts and I think, how far would 3,000 drops of water go on this wall? In one day. It was a momentous day in the church. And certainly the Holy Spirit was active, giving wings to these words of Peter, which as you read them in the book of Acts, don't seem all that ingenious in their rhetorical power, but they had their effect. The Holy Spirit was at work and is today still. And then we heard from Jesus in Matthew 28 as he gives the Great Commission. It was a call to go out and preach and teach and make disciples by doing what? By baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they did that. And of course, the Acts story in Pentecost was the beginning of that happening. And here we are, still in the unfolding chapters of that call that Jesus gave 2,000 years ago, witnessing the work of the Holy Spirit. But what is that work exactly? It seems a little slippery sometimes, a little hard to contain. And that may be for good reason. Simply put, though, the Holy Spirit makes you holy by giving you faith in Jesus. in a world that has all sorts of methods to become holy or right or in the right place, we have one. And it's not even a method, but it's a person. But how does it work? Well, I want to, since we are studying the creeds this week and the past 2 weeks, I invite you to take out your hymnals and take a look at the creeds. We have two of them in our hymnal, page 104 on the bottom of the page, and 105 have our Nicene Creed and our Apostles' Creed. Let's take a look at both of those. They're just the last part, so I invite you, once you get to page 104, join me in the bottom part of the creed, which starts, "We believe in the Holy Spirit." So let's say that together. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So the Nicene Creed sounds actually very much like the Apostles' Creed when it comes to the Holy Spirit, which is just on the next page, page 105. We'll have opportunity to say that together in a few minutes. But what is going on here? What does this mean when we say we believe or I believe in the Holy Spirit? When I was younger and going through confirmation myself as a student, I couldn't make sense of this last part of the creeds. Creation and Jesus made sense. They followed the story in order that we get in Scripture, but when we got to that third part, it seemed like we just threw a bunch of things in at the end that were, yes, important, that yes, we believe in them, but how do they connect? What is the connection between the Holy Catholic or the Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? Little did I know that these are all actually fruits of the work of the Holy Spirit. And who did I learn this from? Well, my pastors, my professors, and Luther himself, looking at the Small Catechism. So I'm going to invite you to look at that with me as well. One more time here in August. Would you open up to the back of the hymnal, page 1162, where we have our small print version of the Small Catechism. And let's take a look at the explanation that Luther gives to the third article of the Creed. And specifically, it applies to the Apostles' Creed, but it also works with the Nicene. So Luther also asks this question, what does this mean when we say these things? And so I invite you to read with me together, starting with, "I believe that by my own understanding." I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but instead the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead, and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Well, right off the bat, we get a head scratcher from Luther, but it is actually one of our very best teachings and reminders in the church that I or we cannot, by our own strength or by our own understanding, come to Jesus Christ or choose him or trust him. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot will faith. We cannot enact it. We cannot even choose Christ or understand how it works by our own labor. But instead, and it's a beautiful "but instead" in this explanation, but instead the Holy Spirit does this. And now the rubber hits the road. For the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, given you ears to hear it, enlightened you with his gifts, made you enlightened in the faith, made you holy, and keeps you in the true faith. Just as the Holy Spirit does this for the whole Christian church. Now there are many rejoinders to this teaching, many who push against it, some in some ways strongly, in some ways not so. Some days we may think that perhaps Christ has done most of the work in salvation, but haven't I contributed just a little bit? Or at least I've decided to follow Jesus, right? Or at the very least, I got in the car this morning, got out of bed, and came to church, right? And you did. And this is a good thing. And we give thanks for it. But we ask the question some days, don't we have to do something for this faith? No. Our grand teaching on the Holy Spirit that sounds shocking, perhaps years after you've heard it for the first time, is that the Holy Spirit and God, the Father and Son, have done it all. So there is nothing left here but to receive, to hear, and to take this. And we sinners are tempted even to take credit for that, but the Holy Spirit will not have it. For the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have done it all for you. And what does this mean for you? Well, it means that your sins are forgiven every day. It means that on the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise you and all the dead to eternal life. All believers in Christ will be saved. Imagine that day. And on that day, this gift will be incredible. For you won't be wondering, did I remember to take the garbage out? Did I close the door before we left on vacation? You've had those moments. No, when it comes to faith, God has done this all for you. And on the last day, we are quite thankful that this is the case. This is the work of the Holy Spirit to make you faithful. And the Spirit has done this and will continue to do this. And on that day, you and all believers in Christ will be raised from the dead and given eternal life. This is the work of the Spirit running wild, forgiving your sins, granting you life everlasting. And in this, through the Holy Spirit, God is with you always, close beside you today and forever, to the end of the age. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our hymn.